So I'm here with Leo, test lead on the SQL Server team. Thanks for joining us.
Sure.
So what is it that you do, and what did you do for SQL Server 2008?
So I'm responsible for the quality of query optimization. And pretty much every feature has to go through the query optimizer. And my job or my team's job has two parts. Basically, make sure that queries using the new features are optimized properly, but also our existing customers don't see any regressions from their level of performance that you know they have today.
Sure.
When they upgrade the new version.
Okay, and you were before the interview. We talked about that a little bit. And you mentioned how that's an interesting challenge. So, what makes it so difficult?
So the space of possible queries is unbounded. Basically, you know, you cannot test other possible queries. So you know, that's challenge number one. Then query optimization is a problem that for some queries you cannot solve exhaustively. Like, for example, you cannot find the best execution strategy that you know there is because you don't have enough time. You might be optimizing for days in order to find that. So you have to find something.
NP complete, right? Traditional computer science.
So you compromise. You find something that's good enough. And the decision is based on estimation, on statistics. Statistics are never accurate. And, you know, all these things combined together create a very interesting problem for quality because it's a statistical problem. So for every release, we have to make sure that we move the product to better levels of performance without regressing existing customers. And we have a lot of ways to deal with that, but it's a problem you can never tackle, you know, 100%.
Sure. And regression in particular. So how do we actually pull that off? Do we have the same queries running against 2000 and 2005 and see how they perform in 2008? Could you talk about sort of the behind the scenes on how this whole query optimization testing actually happens?
Yeah, so we have a subset of queries from our major customers, which you know we run on every build, if you like, and make sure that we don't see big regressions. And you know we work with the development team closely, make sure that you know we always improve. We also have some random query generators that basically we seed them with some information and they go and create queries, you know, to cover the query space and things like that to tackle the space a little more systematically, you know, because as I said, you know, it's an infinite query space, so you know we cannot only rely on customers' queries. You can never have all the queries that are out there. So.
Right. I wonder if we could, that random query generator, that's interesting. Have we ever thought about trying to get that into the hands of customers through one of our products? I think a lot of customers would be able to use that on their own database schemas. And
That's
interesting.
It's interesting, you know, they might be, you know, filing bugs for us, I guess.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. So with 2008, I would assume things like adding data types is something that has a pretty big impact. We added a number in 2008.
Yeah.
So what were some of the bigger challenges in terms of your space for this last release?
So data warehousing is definitely an area where we made investments. And we now have a lot better performance for queries that run over large amounts of data.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, one of the challenges is to make sure that those queries perform well without breaking other queries that are out there. The challenge is that we have to do testing on high-end hardware, which is maybe on 32 processor machines, 64-way processor machines, over terabytes of data. And that is a costly exercise. Those machines are very expensive, delicate, and you know, and that was a challenge for us this time. We basically had to step up our testing quite a bit to test these features.
Cool. So those features were things like the star join query optimizer,
the partition table parallelism, mainly these two for data warehousing, and then a lot of other features. Still, they have to go through the query optimizer, like the special data type, sparse columns, large tables, all those.
How did we test spatial? That's an interesting one, because there's, again, like a whole a bunch of different sort of spatial configurations that you could have. So how did we generate data that was representative of what people might do with this?
So it's an area where we had to do a lot of reading, because obviously we didn't know anything about geographies and planetary coordinates and things like that. We used existing maps for some of the testing that we did, like real data. Then what we did was we built some models that basically take an existing map and transform it to different shapes. Like, imagine you take a map and you project it in an ellipsoid or in a sphere. So basically, the map changes to something else. It's a way to create random maps, if you like.
Right.
And then our model would know what the solution would be for every query for these transformations. And this way, with one map, we could create thousands. We have generators that go and create these random maps and make sure that queries return the right results and things like that. But it was definitely a very interesting area because, we know a lot about databases and queries and things like that, but not a lot about GIS.
Right. So were there any other features in 2008 that particularly presented a challenge for your team?
In our space, in query processing, plant freezing was a very important feature because it allows customers that want predictable performance to freeze plants, basically make sure that the query optimizer doesn't make any decisions for the period of time that the plant is frozen. For customers that run an OLTP environment and they want very predictable performance, this is a great feature.
So we talked to Torsten, who I guess was involved in developing that, but we didn't go deep on what plant freezing was. It was sort of mentioned in passing. So nobody has explained how that works, like how do you implement it and what impact does it have and sort of what it really means to use plant freezing. Is that something you could go into for us a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So SQL Server is a database server that, we like to think works out of the box. And, I think part of its success is because of that.
Right.
It doesn't require a lot of tuning. The query optimizer, statistics all work automatically. And, they adapt as your query workload, as your data changes over time, the system adapts. However, there is a segment of customers that want to have full control over this adaptive process, actually. They want it, if you like, to some extent disabled for some certain queries or some mission-critical part of the workload. And plant freezing basically allows them to do that. It mm-hmm. allows them to know what plant is used and freeze it for a period of time or permanently if they want to.
Mm-hmm. So how do you actually implement it? How do you turn it on and turn it off?
One way, for example, is to, if you're an ISV, you run your test suite, which would go and, let's say, do a playback, replay all the critical queries of your workload. Those plans that are in the cache, there's a store procedure that allows you to go and freeze all those plans, and it's as simple as that.
Oh, okay.
Another way would be that during your regular day of production, you accumulate a set of plans, and then you collect those and you freeze them. So the process is actually fairly simple. As long as you have the right plans in the cache, you can take them and freeze them, and they are going to stay there until you unfreeze them.
Okay. So if you have a frozen query plan, how much can the shape of the additional queries running using that plan differ from what was run in the first time? I mean, if it's different sort of details in the where clause, will it still use the frozen plan? Or if you select a different number of columns, can it still use the frozen plan? Or does it have to look exactly the same? How close?
It will have to look exactly the same. And typically, the customers that want this level of predictability and this level of control have a fixed set of queries through a set of stop procedures or something like that. This method, the plant freezing method, wouldn't apply for something where for an application that has a query builder or creates queries on the fly,
right,
or has ad hoc queries.
Not to that level.
Yeah.
But in terms of like if the where clause might be asking for where greater than 45 one time and then where greater than 96 the next time, you could use the same plan with those sort of details.
If the query is parameterized, then it will use one plan. The query has different constants, then you know it will be a different query. So it really depends on you know how your system is built. And again, typically all the workloads that want to be predictable have stored procedures. Those have parameters.
Yep.
And in this case, you have parameterized queries.
Cool. So what were some of the like most rewarding things with working on SQL Server 2008?
It was a very good release. We had a new engineering system in place, and that did wonders on the quality of the features that we checked in.
The SES, right?
The SES process, yeah. And you know, from someone on the quality on the test side, this is a great thing because essentially you form these virtual teams from. Who work together from the design phase until you know the check-in phase,
right.
The very end. They work together and you know they do their test plans. They work with our early adopters, you know, and when the feature is ready, it's really ready and
yeah.
It's of high quality and the performance is there and there are no regressions. And you know it's a great feeling of success. You know you walk out from this team and. Your job is done. So it's a fantastic system in terms of you know the quality that is delivered. So you know if I would think back of this release, I think this is probably one of the greatest things.
Great.
Yeah.
So SQL Server shipped yesterday morning. Were you there for ship room? Feel good to be done? Is your life less stressful?
Yeah, sure. It's interesting because I was representing the engine in Shiproom, so you know Shiproom has this daily meeting that we have until you know we ship the product, right? And I was representing
twice a day, right?
Twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening, and you know it's an interesting system. We review every bug, and you know it's almost a peer review system. So every component essentially is grilling the other component about every bug to make sure that it's, you know, they have done all the preparation, the fixes tested, everything is fine, you know, to make sure that the release is done. And I was going there every day several weeks, more than a couple of months. But I missed the very last yesterday where I guess it was...
That's too bad.
That's too bad.
But it feels good to be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Well, congratulations and thanks.
Thank you.